From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell arrived in Baghdad today following talks yesterday in Geneva with the foreign ministers of the other four permanent members of the U.N. Security Council. Secretary General Kofi Annan called the meetings in an attempt to reconcile differences over how to move forward toward Iraqi self-rule. The session ended without agreement as France held to its demand that an Iraqi interim government report directly to the Security Council, and the United States insisted on maintaining control over Iraq for the time being. Robert Kagan is a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and the author of Paradise and Power, America and Europe in the New World Order, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. My pleasure.
At the Geneva meeting, all concerned insisted there was potential for progress. Do you think the five nations are going to be able to find common ground?
They may be able to find wording on a resolution that will pass in some form, but if you're talking about real common ground, I don't think that they're going to find real common ground on the large issues that they're really wrestling with right now. And those are, what is the nature of the world order? What should the U.S. do? What should the U.N., what role should the U.N. have? And on that issue, I think France and the United States have really irreconcilable differences.
Now, the five permanent members of the Security Council, they all have their own interests, and there are common interests, which has not always been the case in the past. What would you say are the common interests that caused them to even try to reach an agreement on Iraq?
Well, in theory, they all have an interest in Iraq not falling apart. It's a critical country in a critical region. If Iraq falls into chaos, everyone will be affected in some way. I think there's a common sense that, you know, for humanitarian reasons alone, the international community ought to help the Iraqi people. And so I think those are the two forces that are pushing the effort to get some kind of agreement.
And which countries then have particular independent interests that are preventing this easy resolution of an agreement?
Well, you know, lurking somewhere behind all the rhetoric and language are specific business interests, which all countries have, oil interests. France has always been worried since the end of the war, that they would be excluded from any share of the Iraqi oil business, and I'm sure they're looking under the surface for some way of getting into that. Ditto for the Russians. What companies will be awarded reconstruction contracts? There's all of that kind of thing going on. At a somewhat higher level, I think that you know, Europe has interest regarding relations between the West and the Muslim world that may be slightly different from the United States. The Europeans have a much bigger problem with the Muslims in their own countries than the United States do, and all these issues get worked into this very complex Iraq question.
Let's talk about France for a minute. The country is both America's oldest ally and most recently one of its most difficult friends. And we've talked with you about this in the past. Are you seeing very basic differences between the United States and France that perhaps herald a new phase in relations between the two countries?
Well, I don't know how long this new phase would last. I think what you could say is that basically since the end of the Cold War, when the United States had emerged as the sole power in a, quote, unipolar world, France has been seeking ways of checking that power, of creating what they like to call a multipolar world, and they've been trying to focus attention on the United Nations as a means of somehow controlling what they see as this out-of-control American behemoth. And I must say, in that respect, they speak for a majority of Europeans in their concern that the United States may be out of control.
Talk about Britain for a moment. I mean, it's America's, I guess you could call it, original enemy. In modern times, it's America's closest and most dependable ally. But is there what could be conceived as an irreconcilable schism developing between the powerful English-speaking nations and Europe?
That's a hard question to answer. I think that one of the things that was interesting, I was in Europe during the war and spent a certain amount of time in Great Britain, and I was sort of surprised and amused to find that the anti-French sentiment in Britain was at least as high as it was in the United States, and you heard a lot of comments. I think we even heard a comment rather recently from Jack Straw, the foreign minister of Britain, talking about France's behavior during the occupation in the Second World War. So there's no love lost. There are ancient enmities that get brought up. On the other hand, Britain really does associate itself with Europe. And I think that Tony Blair, in a way, represents the sort of divided heart of Britain. Blair wants to be part of Europe, but he also wants to be a good American ally. These days, those are two things that are hard to pull off at the same time.
And is it possible in 30 seconds to just talk briefly about China? I mean, what's its role here?
Well, you know, China's an emerging great power. They're going to be increasingly influential unless, of course, they just implode, which is also a possibility. And China's role in international order is one of wanting to also constrain the United States. It's worried about American power in its own region. It wants to be a dominant power. On the other hand, it believes in power itself and is engaged in a big military buildup. I think China is the problem of the future, if not today.
Robert Kagan is a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. His book of Paradise and Power, America and Europe in the New World Order, is published by Knopf. Thanks so much.
Thank you.